Welcome to the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host. In case you didn't know, Bammer stands for Badass Mother Runner. This podcast will bring you stories from across Kentucky and beyond about badass women running and the people that support them. Let's get started. Hey guys, it's Stephanie Boyd back with another episode, episode 28. Which is Run With Your Heart with Maddie Rivera. And in this episode, I sit down and talk with Madeline about her journey into running, how she got started. She's completed race distances from the 5K distance to the 100-mile distance. So we talk a little bit about that. And she also gives advice to both new runners and accomplished runners alike. And I really love this conversation with her. We get to hear a little bit about what motivates her, what gets her through races, and also just kind of her life, how she gives back to the running community. Especially runners in the Elizabethtown, Kentucky area. She and her husband, Will, run Running Souls, which is a pretty well-known local running store there. And so I just wanted you to meet her and get to hear a little bit more about her story as a female ultra runner. And I've just loved sitting down and talking with her. And I hope that you are able to pull a little bit of motivation out of her story too. And remember to run with your heart, no matter where you are with your running journey. Thanks. Enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. I'm Stephanie Boyd, your host, and today I want to introduce all of our listeners to Madeline Rivera, also known as Maddie. Welcome and good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Wonderful. Excited to be here and talk to you today.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to have you, and I've been thinking about inviting you onto the podcast for a while, and then COVID hit and all of these other things, and I kind of slowed down recording. So I was really excited to reach out with you, and you were open to it. And I was thinking back to when I first met you, which was probably when we were KDF ambassadors for the KDF marathon. I think that was 2017. So we that was the race year. So we probably met like in fall of 2016. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know you very well, but I just thought you were like one of the sweetest, nicest people I'd ever met, and was really lucky to be able to be an ambassador with you that year. And I've kind of just followed your journey because for those listening, Maddie lives in E-Town, which is just a hop and a skip from Louisville, but has a large running community there that she's a part of. And so we don't see her in Louisville as much as we would like, because she's always running around down there. But I've been following your journey on social media and watching all your races and everything. And so I'm excited to catch up with you today and hear more about all of that good stuff too.
Yeah, it's been a journey for me. I never ran when I was young. A lot of people I have shared my story with and know. I wasn't a runner like in school as a young teenager, none of that. I did other stuff to just, you know, to maintain, to stay healthy and fitness wise, but never ran. And my husband, on the other hand, some people know, he was always been a runner, and he's kind of like been the one that had gotten me through, you know, the running scene. And teaching me and coaching me and inspiring me in many ways to that, you know, this can be done, you know, especially at my age. I started like late. I wasn't very young, so I started very late. And you know, some people when they have already that base and that knowledge of, you know, what running is all about, and I had no idea. You know, I just started very, very, very minimal, and at times got very frustrated. But as I went and met people and in the community and people that inspired me and motivated me, that's how kind of like my journey started with running, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was here in Elizabethtown.
So you have children. So let's back up for a second. Why don't you introduce yourself to everyone and tell us, for those of you who don't know you or know Will, tell us how you identify as a person. What are some terms that you give yourself, and how do you identify as a human being?
So my name is Madeline Rivera, and I currently live in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. I'm originally from Puerto Rico, and been in the United States for quite some time right now. I was an Army wife for 25 years. So I've traveled the world with my soldier, and he's retired now, obviously. But we have two wonderful children. One is actually in the military, and he's stationed in Alaska, our oldest son. And then our youngest lives here in Elizabethtown with us, and he's also just got married.
Yes.
So we're kind of like, Will and I are kind of like by ourselves now, just enjoying ourselves and pretty much, taking care of the business in that sense. But we were here in Elizabethtown. We own Running Souls. Mm-hmm. So a small shop, running specialty shop here. And we're doing very well, thank goodness. Now with COVID and everything, a lot of people are starting to be more active and getting more outside, and all the services that we provide, that we do one-on-one, custom fitting for people. We do our group runs. So we do quite a bit of things here in the community. Mm-hmm. So far it's been very nice. Kentucky, has been our home now, and we've been enjoying it. So we've been blessed in that sense.
Good. Well, I know everyone loves having you in E-Town, and you're a great resource for them, for all the runners in that community, and even Louisville runners too, because I know you all have lots of running friends all over, not just here in Kentucky, but I've loved watching Running Souls grow and just kind of encircle and bring in more people into that area too, into the running scene. And it's intimidating to go to a running store and start and show up for a group run. Like, that is a really intimidating thing. I don't know if people have ever tried to do that before, but it will really test your confidence level to just walk in to a group run at a store like that, especially a store that's owned by ultra runners. And you all are quite traveled and well-versed in the racing scene, and so that is, I always love to see those group runs, and it seems like they keep getting bigger and bigger. So your community has definitely supported you all there, which is great to see.
Yeah. So I actually started running with this group.
Okay. That was going to be my next question, is when did you get the running bug? How did that start?
So when Will retired from the Army, he wanted to, run his own business, and it had to do with running, and it had to do with shoes, because he loves running and he loves shoes, obviously. Mm-hmm. So this is what he wanted to do. I, on the other hand, and I know you know that I'm a nurse as well. Mm-hmm. So I was working in the school health at that time when he was getting ready to retire and opening the business. So I was doing both jobs at the same time. I was doing school health and then handling the business as well. As time went by, and I started, picking up on running and meeting people, I actually met people in the group run that kind of like motivated me that, I could do this. Mm-hmm. It was very challenging because I was intimidated, like you're saying, going into a group and seeing all these runners that are fit and they run fast. And it's like, I really don't fit in that class, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But as time progressed and the group kept getting bigger and bigger, I actually came up with the idea of, like, since I wasn't like an active runner like everybody else, I said, well, why don't I do a walking group that we could meet once a week, and then eventually we can start walking, and then eventually getting into like running. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And what happened was the group started as walkers, and then eventually it turned into a regular group run because all the runners were coming to that group as well. And I started meeting people that were like right around my scale of like starting to walk and eventually wanting to run.
Yeah.
So that's how my journey started with this group. I started walking and then running, and then here I am.
That's a really special way to start, I think, because not everybody has that kind of built-in support. And then, and there, so I'm sure like that community feels like your family too, like an extension of your family. So how cool is it to get to, start running and continue your journey with your family, right? Like that seems pretty
Right.
special.
I've met so many good people here, people that have motivate me and keeping me accountable. And it's been great. We're like a family. Kind of like when you go to the Cheers bar, like where everybody knows your name and we're like family and we're friends and all that. So that's kind of
Yes.
like how it feels in our community. Everybody knows each other. Everybody, it's motivates each other and keeps each other accountable. And it's been really, really nice.
Yeah, and probably people can't hide. So if they, drop out for a little bit, people start asking around, "Hey, where'd so and so go? Why we haven't seen you, out at a group run in a while." So it's
Yeah,
probably
it does
easy.
happen. People come and go. People have things going on in their lives and they have other things that they, focus on, but they always come back. It's like, you see them here and there, and then they kind of like go away, but then they come back. And it's always very, very nice to see, the familiar faces. And we love when, new people come in as well. Because that means, we're doing something.
Right. You're doing something right for sure. So you started doing these, kind of walks with the group, and it kind of transitioned into running. So tell us about your first race. Like, when did you sign up? When did you decide that you wanted to do a race? And do you remember which race it was?
Well, the very first race that I did, and I actually did it with Will, it was a local 5K on at Fort Knox. It was for the Run for Red. That was like my first, like it was a 5K, and Will said, "Well, you should do it." And this was like in during the stages where I was just walking. It's like in those stages, just taking it little by little, and I remember he made me run, and I was so upset because I was so intimidated. I'm like, I can't do that. And he's like, you can do it. Come on, just take little by little. You can do it. And we did that 5K together. And I remember finishing, and I felt so good about myself. Like even though I didn't run the whole thing, but ran part of it, it made me feel good. And it gave me that little confidence to keep, going and pushing myself for a little bit, a little bit. And then after that, the after right after that 5K, I signed up for the Army 10 miler.
We just dive right in.
Was Will's fault because he was running with the Fort Knox team. He's like, we're gonna go to DC and I'm gonna run. You have to do something. So I put my name in a lottery because the Army 10 miler fills up really quick. I put my name in a lottery, and like a few days later, a spot came up, and he was like, okay, you were gonna do it. We're gonna go to DC and you're gonna run this 10 miler.
How long did you have to train for that after, because you had done the 5K, but this was that's a big jump, right? A 5K to a 10 miler.
Yeah, that was like maybe a month or two.
Oh, wow.
So,
I mean, when you guys do something, you're all in.
but I tell you, it was the Army 10 miler. I have to say it's one of my favorite runs because it holds a special place in my heart. It was like my first long run, place where I saw so many people that. People of our ages and stages and shapes and forms and so welcoming. And I was just like blown away, like, wow, I'm running a big race with all these people and I have no idea. And I went in, I didn't own like a wow pair of shoes that I had just bought like at a outlet store, and I wore those shoes. And right now, like, you know, when we fit people, we're like, you might want to take your shoes out for like a little run and kind of break them in and stuff. I just dove right into it.
You just totally went with the new shoes. Didn't even.
Like, I had no idea. 10 miles.
Yeah.
But it was that there gave me, you know, more confidence that, okay, this can be done, but you know, you'd have to train.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I'm assuming your goal for the 10 miler was just to be in the moment and like finish, and you didn't have a time goal or anything because you hadn't trained. You didn't know what your time goal, you didn't know what your time would be. Yeah. So how did you, once you crossed that 10 miler line, like, did you come back and tell everybody, okay, now I'm ready to do something else? Or did you kind of keep it low key? Because I know the races that you run over your history so far, but tell us a little bit about your journey from that 10 miler to where you're at now, and how many races have you completed? Do you keep count?
I honestly don't keep count.
I don't either. I wish I did. I mean, I do have my medals and everything, but you know, you don't get a medal for every race that you do. And you know, I don't know how many, I've done like so many 5Ks and stuff like that, that I don't have medals for. So I've lost count too, which makes me sad.
I don't honestly have no idea how many, but I know it's quite a bit. Cause I, you know, my medals and all that, but, yeah, from that moment on, I just, you know, kept running and doing the group runs and doing the Saturday long runs, and didn't have anything on the agenda until after that 10 miler. My next step was obviously a half marathon. Mm-hmm. And I did, you know, train for that. And it was the Derby. That was my really first half marathon.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
Yeah. I think that everybody here, I mean, that might be their first half marathon.
I think it is. And then it seems like it's either that or Urban Bourbon, obviously, but it seems like the KDF it's been around a little bit longer, obviously. So more people have done that one. And it's a great time of the year. It's in the spring and it's all the excitement about the derbies going on. Yeah. And so it's a fun, fun half marathon. But it's not, I mean, if it's your first one, you kind of get spoiled a little bit because the crowd support and, you know, it's local and all your friends are there running. You see people on the course that you know. Mm-hmm. So to do that versus going somewhere else where you might do a half marathon on a trail or in a place that doesn't have the same crowd support, you kind of get a little spoiled with the KDF half marathon, I have to say.
Yeah, it's nice. Like the amount of people out there and, you know, going through the Churchill Downs and downtown. I mean, it's, you're not running alone.
No.
There's such a big crowd out there.
Never. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've obviously run some other half marathons and they've all been good in different ways, but that the crowd and just being around other runners who you know, a lot of them, or I think being an ambassador for that race was great for me. I do remember being very intimidated to come into the room with the ambassadors for the first meeting because I had only run half marathons to that point. So that year was, I think, going to be like 2016 was going to be my first. I'd only run one full marathon. Mm-hmm. And I felt like my running resume was so subpar compared to all those, you know, there were Ironmen in there and people that had run 10 marathons. And here I was just walking in with my, what I felt like was subpar. And now knowing what I know about running, clearly it takes all kinds, you know, but I got to meet so many cool people in the running community doing that and, you know, just making new connections and learning that and kind of identifying that I am a runner. Like I am 100% a runner. That kind of helped, like other people validated that I was a runner. I don't know why I needed that, but was there ever a sense of where you felt like you were pretending to be a runner? Because I know some people fall into that category. Like 5Ks are enough, right? Like you don't even have to run a race to be a runner, right? So there's not this level of you have to run a marathon to be a runner. If you just get out and move forward, you're a runner. But I don't know. I feel like sometimes we struggle with that.
Yeah.
That putting that term on ourselves for whatever reason. Have you ever come up against that yourself?
It took me a while, like to be honest, to consider myself a runner because, you know, you always have this vision you know, of a runner, you know, a person that, you know, being on the podium and running out there and going fast and, you know, physically, you know, you could tell out in the streets, you know, that person, you know, it's a runner. And when you go to races and you see all these people and you look at yourself and you're like, you know, there's no way. But yeah, I mean, in my experience, I feel like I bring a different perspective to running. There's always that doubt, you know, because, you know, for people, running comes, I've seen athletes that, you know, running is natural. It comes natural for them, as opposed to somebody like me that started late. And it has been a challenge. You know, it has not been easy. But I feel like, you know, with, if you have the will and running with your heart and you say, you know, you're going to go out there and just, you know, and digging deep and thinking, you know, I'm doing this for me. And that made me feel like, you know, I'm okay. I'm a runner. I'm putting one foot after the other and just getting out there. And cause it took me a while for breathing. Cause you know, like I said, running's not easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't easy. And I read a lot of podcasts and books and learning from other athletes, learning from other people. And of course with Will, that he's, you know, he's always ran and he always, you know, giving me tips here and there. And, right. And reading about that and learning about, you know, the aspects of running and other people like me that started at my age, I kind of like pick their brains as well. And mm-hmm. so in that sense, it's gotten better mm-hmm. for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I can totally relate to that. My husband has been an athlete his whole life. He didn't start running marathons until he was in his 20s, but he's always, any sport that he tries, he's just, it comes natural to him. And my youngest son is like that. Myself, I have to work really hard to get any kind of result close to him. And, yeah. you know, it just does not come easy. And I didn't start running until I was in my 30s. So it felt really hard because he would just go out and he made it look so easy, mm-hmm. you know, and it wasn't like that for me. And I'm like, I'm never going to be able to do this. You know, it just, there were so many days where I felt like I had setbacks. Most of them were mental. So, you know, but physically you have to get conditioned and that takes a minute. You know, you can't just expect to go out and run a 5K.
Very yeah. few people do that,
you know? Uh-huh. So yeah, I can totally identify to that, but it is nice. And I'm sure Will, same thing for your, you know, your husband is telling you can do it. I mean, he's been around the scene how long, and he's seen a lot of people achieve a lot of things. So if he can, mm-hmm. he tells you can do it, you kind of have to believe him, right? Don't you hate it when he's right?
Yeah.
So I know that you've run half marathons and marathons, but you eventually, and I watched this and thought, when is she going to do this? I know she's going to do this at some point, get into ultra running. Uh-huh. Because that's what your husband, that's his niche, right? So, I mean, when did you decide to take that leap and jump up a little bit to that longer distance?
So, you know, after running the half marathons, and then I ran my first marathon, and then from that first marathon came another marathon. I said, I can maybe jump into a 50K, you know, get, you know, go out there and do a little more and push the limit and see where I can go. So from the marathons, I kind of like in ultra running, I have climbed a ladder little by little. So I marathon and then ultra marathon, that I did my first 50K. From that first 50K came my first 50 miler. And then from there, you know, 100K. And then from 100K, that's when I said, I think I can go for 100. And then I went for my 100. So I've kind of like climbed the ladder little by little. Mm-hmm. And from each of one of them, I have, you know, learned, you know, you learn from experiences and kind of like do things differently here and there. But that's how pretty much my journey went. Mm-hmm. And honestly, going to Will's races and crewing him and being a volunteer myself, Like, I was so inspired by so many people, like, volunteering at, you know, all these races. And I was like, I want to do this one day, you know, that I want to challenge myself and push limits and see how far I can go. And just watching all those people and crewing Will and kind of motivated me just, you know, to go for my first one at least. And then here I am. From that first one, then I've just kept going.
So I like how you point out the volunteering, because I think people have a, so one of my favorite things to do if I'm not running is volunteering or pacing.
Yeah.
Those things are just very exciting and rewarding, and they're just fun because you're not having to do the work. Like, I mean, you are, but there's not a lot of pressure in the sense of it's not your first X, Y, or Z. I mean, it's pretty cool to go out and just hang out, especially with volunteering with other runners. I mean, we all have lots in common, but I think people think that you have to have some kind of experience to volunteer at races. And I try to always tell them, you know, if you're there to work the race, so if you're at an aid station or if you're at the finish line or start setup, like, they're going to tell you what you need to do. And it's pretty easy to, like, refill bowls of food and make a quesadilla or, like, whatever it is that, you know, and when the runners come in, they'll tell you what they, ask them what they need, tell them what you have on the table, whatever, you know, and they'll, so, but I think people think they have to, like, run that distance or have participated in a race like that to be a volunteer. And so we, you know, I tell people all the time, go do it, because the race directors, you know, can't keep doing this without help. And the runners need you. And if you've ever been at a race before, half marathons and marathons on the road are a little bit different because you're not stopping at those aid stations necessarily. You know, you're kind of grabbing and going on the road. But when you're in a trail situation or a longer distance, there are some, I mean, there's so much good that you can do as a volunteer for a runner that you don't even recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, and the runners love it. You know, when the volunteers they're there to help and, you know, fill their bottles, get them something to eat or help them with their mess or, you know, just those little things go far. Mm-hmm. And, you know, receiving that thank you when you're running and, the race directors, they appreciate so much the volunteers because they, you know, running a race, directing a race, it's, you know, putting a race together, it's not easy. It's a lot of work.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
It is. So volunteering, you know, it's big, you know, getting those volunteers and you pretty much tell them what to do and, you know, give them a direction of, you know, what to do and what to say, because that's the other thing. That's one thing that I learned when ultra running, there are certain things that you ask people and certain things that you don't, especially when they're like, right, you know, and they're high mileage and you just, So, being there, you know, as a volunteer, you know, makes a big difference for these runners.
Yeah. And crewing too. I mean, I personally think crewing your own spouse, is really difficult because you do know that person so well and that there isn't a filter there. Like you're less, like your filter's not there, right? Because this person you know really well and you think you know them really well and then, you know, it's in the middle of the race or whatever and all of a sudden you've met this person you've never met before, especially if you're your first time crewing them. My husband has crewed me and supported me and I just really don't, I mean, I've probably not been very nice to him. Like, I don't remember really always necessarily that I've said anything, but it will make you stronger. I think as a married couple, if you crew or pace your spouse for sure. Has Will ever helped you out and supported you at a race?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he probably has some good stories we can talk about with him off the microphone, but yeah, he probably would agree. It's difficult, but it's so rewarding. It's rewarding. I mean, to see my husband cross the finish line of anything, I always think is really special. So I'm sure Will was like super excited for you whenever you cross the finish line too, because he knows that feeling, right? Like he knows what that feels like.
Actually, when I did my first 100, he paced me the last 14 miles, And I had two of my running buddies that went and they paced me as well. Mm-hmm. They were part of the crew. Mm-hmm. But the last, when I was like at my darkest, like those last 14 miles, Will jumped in and I'm like, oh boy, I'm in trouble here because he's going to give me the whip. He's going to make me run and he's going to give me the spill. But I tell you, I wouldn't change it for the world. I mean, he did so well. He knew what to say. He knew what to do. He pushed me. I was running like not even when I've had started the race. I mean, I was, you know, obviously you're fresh and, you know, at the beginning you're good, but then you start hitting those larger miles that, you know, you're going into a territory that you've never been. And at the end, I was like, oh, like almost done. I'm like, I'm dying. I just want to get done. And he got me through. Mm-hmm. And we just kept running and passing people and going through the aid stations really quick. And he would, he knew what to say because he kind of knew what I was going through because mm-hmm. he's been there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, crossing the finish line and him being there and my friends, I mean, it was priceless.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So are you thinking about doing another 100 anytime soon?
Not for now. It's a lot of work.
It is. It's a lot of training, right? It's a lot of training time.
It's a lot of training time. And right now I'm in a stage where, you know, I'm a new grandma. I got a grandbaby.
So and precious.
Even though, you know, she's not here in Kentucky, she lives far away. I want to have that time. So like when Will says, okay, let's go out on vacation. Let's just go. I don't want to be cut up like in the middle of training.
Yeah.
And being frustrated and then stressing out. So I'm not taking anything big like that for now. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying no to it.
Right. When the time's right. On. Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. You know, not now, but yeah, it's a lot of work for 100 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Kentucky, it's a little bit hard. It's kind of hard to find the right places to train, depending on where you're going to go race at. I mean, there's some time that, you know, I mean, for me to just drive somewhere to find elevation or, you know, depending on what the race is, it's difficult. And by the time you drive there, you do a long run and come home, like your whole day is shot. And then you've got a, you know, recovery run the next day that's half as long. So it's a lot of time to be able to put into it. But if you were talking to people, and people probably ask you this, that are maybe ready to jump up to the next distance, and they're just not sure, you know, mm-hmm. I always say like a marathon to 50K is not that big of a leap. Like you can do a marathon, you can probably cut out a 50K because you can, I mean, I used a marathon training plan for my first 50K. So you kind of know what the time commitment is and things like that. But right. When you think about going up from a 50K to say 50 mile or 100K, little more, lots more room for error there because of the jump in mileage. So what advice would you have to somebody that's thinking about jumping, but they're not quite sure if they can?
If they can, yeah. I would say, you know, training the big thing, you know, getting your body used to those long hours, miles, just get into a regimen of, you know, a good training plan where, you put in so X amount of miles during the week, you know, getting your body, getting that endurance, to get there, and also incorporating other things like strength training and, maybe cycling or swimming, you know, doing some type of cross training in between, good stretching sessions and things like that. Cause your body after a while, you know, after putting so much, you know, running, you know, it needs a break. So you kind of like, have to rest it and, you know, take care of, you know, things. Mm-hmm. But mainly it's keeping up with your mileage and your nutrition, having a game plan for, you know, for if you're going to have a pacer or a crew member with, you know, have that person run some miles with you so they can, you know what, where to help you and what to expect and things like that. Somebody that knows you, that's going to get you through if you're, you know, if you're going to have a pacer with you. But mainly, like I said, the training, grab a training plan for like maybe a beginner's, like a beginner's 50 mile or a beginner's 50K, and read into those things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The mental aspects plays a major part into ultra running. Mm-hmm. People ask me, you know, like they ask me questions about, you know, how is that? And I, you know, I always tell them, you know, for an ultra, you know, 80% it's mental, mm-hmm. like your mental aspect, and 20% physical.
Yep.
So yep. It plays a major part, mentally. Because physically, I mean, if you're fit, I mean, it'll get you there. You just, you know, right. Ultra, you have that leeway where you can, you know, just run, walk, just, you know, just keep moving. Mm-hmm. You know, compared to like a half marathon, marathon, that you're just running constantly.
Right.
And
right.
To beat a time or whatnot. For ultra running is different. You know, you're putting your body into, you know, something, you know, big. So you yep. kind of like have to, like, if you're willing to push limits and challenge yourself, just, you know, be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's when, you know, your training comes, running for like 3-4 hours, you know, whichever distance you're going to run, and, you know, staying consistent.
And yeah. It's definitely mental. I mean, I think I'm really bad at sleep deprivation, so I'm not sure why I would pick ultra running for any reason other than I know the time that I did the 50 miler, the pistol, I chose that race because I want all the medals and all the buckles and everything from the pistol. So you got to do that one, but it starts at 8 PM. And so, I am horrible at sleep deprivation, but I thought that was going to be the year I was going to run 100. And so I wanted to know what that felt like. So I got up the morning at 8 AM. I ate a huge breakfast, like at 10, drove to Tennessee, took like a nap at 3:30, maybe for like 45 minutes, ate again, and then went over to see what was going on before the 8 PM start time. So I didn't have a lot of sleep. I slept the night before probably 6 or 7 hours. And so, but I wanted to go into that with, you know, I didn't want to be fully rested because I'd never ran all night like that before, except for yeah. Ragnar. But I mean, I wasn't running the whole time. So I'm not good at sleep deprivation. I remember like at 3:30 or 4 a.m, I just wanted to lay down on the side of the course and just like take a nap, but it was so cold. That was like the night, because I saw you there. I think you were doing the 100K or
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, and I remember we crossed paths.
We did, yeah. And but it was so cold that it was like 20 degrees or something when we were running. So my pacer was waiting for me to come back, and I was like, I just wanted to lay down. And she's like, you can't lay down. You would like be frozen to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm really bad at sleep deprivation. I don't know how to get around that except just practice more, you know, but it's like, that's a mental thing. Like my body was fine. My body, I wasn't hurting right. anything. It was just, my brain was like, okay, it's time for you to lay down and go to bed now.
Yeah.
And my body was like, no, we're going to keep moving forward. So yeah. How was it with your 100 miler? How did you work with, you know, just staying up?
Well, my running buddy, she kept me up during the night. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, taking like coffee and Coca-Cola, and just, you know, keeping me up and talking. And we would talk about things, and we would play mind games. And, you know, she would ask me questions about what's your favorite movie, what's your favorite pastime. And she kept me busy. Like during the night, but I was sleeping.
Yeah.
Like I have never sleepwalked, but I was sleepy.
That's what you felt like
in the sky. And, I would start hearing things, and I was like, did you hear that? And she's like, I did not hear anything. And I'm like, I just want to go to sleep, but we just kept moving. I heard things that weren't there. And she was just making fun of me. She's like, oh, that's nothing. Let's just keep going. And and that's how pretty much it got me through the night. But mm-hmm. you know, having that pacer with me, and, you know, feeding me, you know, giving me coffee and all the, you know, all the things, the sweet stuff to get, you know, stay awake.
Yeah.
During the nighttime, it's when it really, really gets, you know, dark for ultra runners, especially, you know, if you're going through the night. And like I said, having that a person with you and crewing you and doing the right things, and that's pretty much what gets you through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes a big difference.
Did you have any moments where you were like, okay, we can just stop now? Was that a point to point that you did?
Yeah. I did a point to point. And honestly, I went on a mission that day that I was going to complete it no matter what. Mm-hmm. It didn't even cross my mind that, you know, I wanted to stop or quit. I just, you know, was on a mission, and mm-hmm. I didn't care when to get there. I just wanted to get to the finish line. And I had a plan executed, and that's what I did that day.
That's amazing. I remember watching like social media, waiting for someone to post that you were finished. I knew you were going to finish, but clearly I wasn't there running it. So I was waiting to see you post, and then I saw it. I was like, she did it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not everybody that runs wants to run an ultra marathon, right? Like some people are fine where they're at running, not even racing, but like if they want to go out and run a 5K or whatever, that's what they're good with. So it sounds like what you might tell someone who wants to start running is maybe find a group to run with, or find people that you think could help you, you know, help motivate you to run. Even like some people are like, I don't even know where to start,
right?
Like I want to run, but we have that happen here at our running group at Moms Run This Town. Like they'll join and they're like, I'm not a runner, I've never run before, I don't even know how to start. So would you say like shop around, start looking where there are running groups, where there are people that, you know, could help you, or, you know, kind of what's your advice for people who just want to start running, period?
I would say, you know, like running groups, you know, they, especially ours, it's all levels.
Mm-hmm.
So try to, you know, join somewhere where you meet people that, you know, have the same interests and kind of like teach you and walk you through the process. Go to a local like running shop and, you know, get properly fitted and you know, talk to people there for advice. You know, when I started from scratch, I also like to read books on like beginners and, mm-hmm. And training plans on how to like eventually start run walking and, you know, teaching about breathing and things like that. But mainly, you know, getting into the group where you see other people and, they kind of like stick with you and motivate you and just keep, you know, keep going. That's how I learned, you know, having that consistency of keep going like weekly. And because I've seen people that, you know, they come to a group and they want to start running and they have all this motivation, but then kind of like they kind of lose it. So it's in our group when we have people, we build that relationship and get their feedback when they get back. So how did the run feel? And we'll see you next week and things like that. And, you know, stay connected
mm-hmm.
with that person. You know, we've seen a lot of people in a group, you know, meeting goals and doing big things now that they started running 5Ks and now they do like triathlons and ultra marathons. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's that connection, that relationship that, you know, and the teaching
that
you give that person.
That's a great point. And the validation too. So you ask how they're feeling, but, and then you can explain that that's normal, that's a normal, that you're not like this outlier and that running isn't for you. This is a normal part of the process. I think when you validate that for new runners, because they don't know what's normal, they might think that they should hang it up or, you know, maybe running's
not for
them.
Or maybe they think it's not for me and they try, you know, give up. But, you know, like I said, you know, building that relationship and giving them feedback and reassuring and getting that validation, like you say, you know, mm-hmm. keep them motivated.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, I just wonder, and I'll put in the show notes too about Running Souls, their group runs, like I'll link to the shop there so they can take, because I think you guys have some of that posted on your website, right? If somebody wanted to come to group run.
Yeah, so we have have our Running Souls training group. You know, people go in there, it's a Facebook page, and we post our routes, we post daily motivationals, and you know, people post like if they want to run and they want to meet somewhere, but we post a lot of things of the group. There are things that are happening in the community running wise, you know, with the group. And then also we have our on our Strava, we have a Strava club.
Okay.
A lot of runners are on Strava, and we have a club there that we put the routes and, you know, people log in their miles and things like that. So we meet Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then Saturday mornings. Saturdays are, we call it our coffee runs, because we, you know, we provide coffee for the runners when they come back. We meet at 8 a.m. and that's the day when people kind of like go for their longer runs.
Right.
So we have routes designated on that day for people, and everybody kind of sticks together. People that are in the same stage, you know, level, there's always someone with you out there. And then during the week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6 p.m., we also have the meetups, and we have all kinds of people that come. We've got walkers, runners.
Yeah, it looks like a diverse
group. There's strollers, people that come with their pets. So everyone is welcome.
Awesome.
That.
Okay. Well, I'll link to that in the show notes. So if people want to check that out and come join you guys, they know how to look for the information. So tell me, before we wrap up, you know, this podcast is about BAMers. So obviously that's why you're on here, because we think you're a BAMer. But when you hear that word, or you hear someone say, well, she's a BAMer, what do you think of when you hear someone say that term? What does a BAMer look like to you?
BAMer? Can you tell me what it means?
Blue yes. It's badass mother runner.
Oh my goodness.
That's you, Maddie. You're BAMer.
Well,
you don't have to be a mom. It's kind of this like collective term. And we even have some guys in that we call BAMers, just because they're really supportive of women that run. So, that's why you're here, because you're BAMer. So if you heard somebody say that and say, this person's a total BAMer, you know, what would you think that looks like?
Well, listen, you know, people have their own, you know, challenges that they want to do. So in different ways, you know, people have certain goals, and they want to reach and meet these goals. So it's just a matter of, you know, putting yourself and pushing limits. You know, how far do you want to go? What is it that I want to do? What challenge do I want to take up next? And, you know, it takes a lot of discipline and work to get to places. And not, and it's like in everyday life, you know, if you want to do something, you know, whatever you apply in your everyday life, that's just like in your career, your everyday work, or, you know, as a mom or as a parent or whatnot, you know, you apply those principles also, you know, in your fitness life, in your lifestyle, you know? So that's my take in it. And it doesn't matter what stage you are, you know, fitness wise, you know, it's never too late. You could go out there, and if, you know, if you want to run a 5K, if you want to run a 10K, if you want to run a half marathon, you do you, and you put in the work and do it. You know, it's only going to, you know, benefit you and make you feel good. It's just, you know, it's challenges, and, you know, don't be afraid of it. There is going to be an intimidation, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're doing something for yourself, something to benefit you as a person. And who knows, you may make a difference in somebody else's life and, be an inspiration to somebody else that, you know, wants to do something, but they're afraid of.
Right.
But it's doable. You just have to have that heart and that work ethic to, you know, to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you're such an inspiration to me. And I know so many other people in the running community here and in Eton. I mean, we all love you and think we love to watch what you're doing, and it motivates me. Like, okay, here is someone who she had a full-time job, she had kids, and you started this running store and has set all these goals, which I feel like in the ones I've known about, you've hit the mark on really well. So you're doing something right. And then in the meantime, you're training for Will's training for all of these races, you're traveling with him, and then you're racing. And so I really don't have an excuse, right? Because I mean, if you can balance all of that, why can't we, right? Like, if you can do it, surely the rest of us can figure it out.
Yeah, it comes with sacrifice. I mean, for me, you know, I run the business and, you know, I do other things on the side. So I kind of like start my day early to get it done early, because as my day goes, you know, we get busy with life, with kids, with things, and we kind of forget that little, you know, part of, you know, take an hour of the day and just do you know, do something for you. And that's the time that, you know, you take. And if it's early in the morning, you know, get up and do it. If it's late at night when the kids are in bed, and you have that time, you're not tired, you know, just do it. But just find that spot, that time, just to dedicate to yourself.
Yeah, that's great advice. I actually thought to ask you earlier, what's the best advice someone's ever given you about running? But I think you just gave the best advice. Like, you said, take time for yourself. And if running is a goal that you have, then take that time to work on that goal. And running, it really is. I mean, I feel like it opens up a lot of doors for people that they didn't know that were even available to them. So I'm glad that you've opened some doors for yourself and that you've hit all of these challenges. So thank you for being so inspirational and coming on the podcast. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
and I need to come to E-Town soon.
Yeah.
Now I'm out and about again. I'm starting to get out and about. We had our first like group run here. Last weekend we had about 40 or 50 ladies that came to that, and it was a blast. So I'm ready to get out.
I need to come to one of them.
You need to come.
Yeah, to meet people. And
oh my gosh.
I'm sure I'll see some familiar faces.
You will. You'll see people you know, and then make all kinds of new best friends. That's for sure. And we have some ladies that are like in between us, like, you know, they're living in between E-Town and Louisville. So sometimes they drive up. But maybe they'll learn about Running Souls too and can come there. But yeah, you need to come up to Louisville and run with us. That's the first Saturday of every month we meet up. So I'll keep you posted. We haven't decided where July is yet, but
I would love to come out there.
Perfect. So we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today, and we'll all keep following. Oh, do you have a social media account that people can follow you on, follow your progress that you want to share? If you do, I can put it in the show notes.
Done. For myself?
For yourself or for the shop?
Yeah, follow us on Facebook. We also have a website, runningsouls.us. You can go on there and learn more about our services, our shop, our community, our events that we are starting to host this time around. We do some races and, you know, demo runs and all kinds of fun activities at the shop here in the community. That's runningsouls.us. And then we're also on Instagram, E-Town Running Souls.
Okay.
You can go on there.
Perfect.
And we're in the heart of the square in downtown Elizabethtown. So if you're ever in need of like a good pair of shoes or you know, anything running related, walking related, swimming, we also carry swimming stuff. So we carry a little bit of everything. Just come on down and see us.
It's a beautiful store. So I need to get down there and see you guys again.
And then you can go next door and have some pizza.
Yes.
There's all kinds of fun stuff in downtown.
So much fun. It's so pretty down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Maddie. Well, I hope to see you in person soon. And let's stay connected so we can make that happen. And thanks so much again for coming on the show today.
Great to see you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bluegrass Bammer podcast. If you like what you've heard, hit subscribe to the podcast so you can catch the next episode when it's live. Also, you can find me on my blog. That is bluegrassbammer.wordpress.com. Or you can follow me at Bluegrass Bammer on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. See you next time, and until then, happy running.